Can you imagine the level of a mind that watches wrestling?
The audience wants to see action, adventure, wrestling, and plenty of it.
Big men in tights, you know the drill.
Rammer Slammer.
Hey there, this is Ben Stark with Wonder Mill Films. I'm here with Will Nevin. Will, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. Having a good day.
Yeah, me too. So it's WrestleMania season, WrestleMania week, right? And the booker asked us to talk about how we're feeling about Sunday's big event. Are you game?
I am game. Big boss man Flanagan, yeah.
That's right. Gato. So let's just start. You wanted to start with the pre-show undercard stuff?
Yeah, and I think a good thing to just kind of throw out, like right here, is that we are not going to go in-depth on everything we're going to talk about today because WrestleMania is too big.
It is.
It's too unwieldy. The way the company is structured and the way the event is promoted and the way the talent is promoted, like there's this incentive to get everybody on the show. And getting everybody on the show does not make for a good show. So this is a six-hour show, and that's crazy. Nobody wants to sit down and watch 6 hours of pro wrestling. And if you are that guy, God bless you. I'm happy that your whims are being catered to right now, but the rest of us just want a tight, nice, short show. Like,
yeah.
3 hours would be a great show.
Exactly.
And I am sure we will have 3 hours of a great show in that 6 hours. The rest of it will just be long. And
Kid Rock performances.
Oh, yes. Oh, thank you. Yes, we do need Kid Rock on the show. What did they do on that last commercial spot talking about Kid Rock? I can't remember. Like, they said like the esteemed or the great or the magnificent Kid Rock, whatever it was. But yeah,
future senator.
That's a different show on a different podcast. But yes, there is nothing more throwaway than the pre-show. Right? It's like right there in the name. You don't have to watch this. Nothing important is going to happen. And there's nothing more, you know, evident of what WrestleMania has become than the two battle royals. And then there's nothing more that says, like, the current state of WWE than the cruiserweight title match being an afterthought on this show. I really have nothing to say about the battle royals. They exist. They exist to get everybody on the show. I hope that we can all take a deep breath and not take them too seriously. And just let them happen and, you know,
yep.
Whatever.
they're usually kind of fun. And it could be such a great opportunity for whoever wins these things, but the Andre the Giant Battle Royal has quickly become pretty meaningless, you know? I mean, nothing ever happens to the winners. So there's no consequence. So, yeah, it's forgettable. And I haven't been keeping up with 205 Live, but from what I understand, it's actually been pretty good. So it's a bummer that the reward for everybody on that show doing reportedly good work is to be stuck on the pre-show for their big championship match.
Yeah. And, that was more or less what drove away the two best acts in the division,
yep.
from last year, Neville and Austin Aries. And, You can't blame them because nothing is ever going to get better in that division. But there had been a rumor, and I am a reader of rumors, a consumer of dirt sheets, that they were thinking about throwing Goldberg as a surprise entrant into the Battle Royal. It being on the pre-show is confirmation that that won't happen. And like
yeah,
you said,
seriously.
Like this is going to be forgettable. I just remember, you know, Corbin won. They gave it to, Big Show as like a gold, you know, a gold watch, retirement kind of gig.
But Cesaro win felt like such a big deal. WrestleMania 30, remember Cesaro won and then he became like a Heyman guy. And I was like, wow, this actually matters. And then nothing.
Exactly. And that's all I have to say about the pre-show.
Same.
And moving on from the pre-show, we have more or less your undercard title matches. And, you know, I just complained that this is going to be a long show. But in fairness to WWE, it is a stacked show.
Yeah.
And if you look at these undercard matches, I mean, these are more or less matches that would headline other events, right? The tag title matches, I think on the Raw side, certainly the allure there is Strowman's mystery partner. It's always great when you can have a mystery partner gimmick and it does not feel forced. Although, to be fair, I would have been totally happy with Brains Strowman being the mystery partner.
Oh, I
did laugh Monday. That was about the only enjoyable thing Monday's show.
About that. The playing Braun Strowman for comedy is with the big cello thing too. He's on the rise, and I feel like comedy is what you do after you've been on top for a little bit and you can weather it, but. I do not like this guy that is this, you know, he's got a lot of momentum behind him and people want to love this guy. People want to respect this guy as a threat to other people on the card. And then you put funny glasses on him or give him a prop. It's like, oh, they don't do that. They didn't do that to Roman Reigns when they were pushing him. So but they did do it to Dean Ambrose. So it's just kind of like, it's concerning. So, but I kind of like this angle. I think it'd be pretty lame if he won the tag titles by himself over Cesaro and Sheamus, because those are two venerable opponents. But at the same time, I think this is a pretty constructive way to put the spotlight on Braun without, you know, putting him in a world title match.
Absolutely. And I will totally back you up. I remember being so incensed at the cello angle. I guess I'm just kind of numb to it now.
Expect, it's like, what are you going to do? You can either laugh or you can be upset about it. So
yeah. Laugh. But I remember distinctly being like, this is not good. A guy that I listen to all the time and respect, Wade Keller over at Pro Wrestling Torch, like his go-to example is like, just because an act or, you know, a wrestler can do a thing, it doesn't mean they should do a thing. If Stone Cold could juggle, that doesn't mean juggling should have been in an act. Comedy can just derail stuff all the time.
Yeah, Stone Cold was funny when he was playing guitar and wearing a cowboy hat, but that was like after he was the top guy, after he was a bad guy, and it was also happened to be one of the worst, like, drawing periods of his career, you know? So it's like, yeah, just because Stone Cold was funny that one time doesn't mean that that's the way to make a star.
Yup. In terms of the possible partners, you wanna hazard a guess on that one?
I feel like Rey Mysterio is a pretty healthy guess if he's healthy indeed. I'm kind of out of the loop on everything else. Maybe. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of people that are kind of like on the fringes and could pop in. I know Jericho seems to be done with New Japan. Maybe it'd be Jericho, but that doesn't really make any sense. I'm kind of suspecting it's not anybody special. It'll be like Ralphus or some just like non-entity, and then Braun will like dominate everything, and it'll be basically like he won the match himself. That's kind of what I'm predicting. Maybe it'll be James Ellsworth. There you go.
Yeah, either we're going to get like a veteran, like that's not really a surprise, like you said, Mysterio, or maybe Big Show. He's out there theoretically if he's healthy. If Bray Wyatt 2.0 or whatever his next thing is going to be, or maybe he wasn't actually deleted and reincarnated. If he doesn't show up in the Battle Royal, I might expect him here.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, that would be an interesting turn. And I think a Braun Bray feud is a really good way to spend Braun's time before he ascends to the world title picture.
Absolutely. And on the other side, the SmackDown tag match, the triple threat between the New Day, the Usos, and the Bludgeon Brothers. This is subtraction by addition. The Usos and New Day have a great chemistry together. It's a great feud. And then WWE has to sports entertain over everything and put in the Bludgeon Brothers, which they are a good entrance theme in search of a good act.
The gimmick is real bad, but
real bad.
I think Luke Harper is one of the most underrated and underused wrestlers in the company. So I think, honestly, I think the only weak point in this match is Eric Rowan. I think this could be really good. And of course the Bludgeon Brothers gimmick in general, but in terms of the in-ring talent, I think this has potential to be extremely memorable.
Yeah. Just the Bludgeon Brothers gimmick is just so bad. Or the way that they have structured it and the way they're playing it is so bad.
It's really bad.
And then the IC and US title matches, which are more or less mirror images of each other. You got good workers in all of the matches, and it's just...
Do you? You have some. I mean, I think the talent on display in one versus the other is quite... There's a gulf there.
Look, we can't all be Seth Rollins and Finn Balor, okay? Okay.
Yeah.
But we can be old veteran hands like Randy Orton and Bobby Roode and more or less be steady. But yes, I will readily accept that Finn Balor greater than Jinder Mahal.
A little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. I'm happy that Rusev got added to the U.S. title match. I would really like that if WWE could just go with it.
Yep.
Go with the face momentum he has and just let it happen. Let it happen.
Look, I mean, Vince McMahon's wife works for Donald Trump. Why is their number one Russian superstar not a face? Doesn't make sense. It writes itself.
Oh, we're going to get fined by the boss. Going to get too political on this here apolitical show. But, yeah, that is a real head-scratcher.
But, yeah, I agree with you. I think Rusev is fantastic. I think he's the best wrestler in that match. And I just rewatched the Royal Rumble from this year. And the pop that he gets and just the crowd reaction to him, it's just like, put this guy on top. Like, no, there's no reason. Like, he's proven himself to be reliable on every front, and now the crowd is super behind him. So just let it happen.
And for once, don't wait. Don't patiently get everything together and then decide to go with it after the crowd has just gotten tired of waiting for you.
Right.
When Damian Sandow was hot.
Yes, perfect example, yes.
And it's the same kind of comedy gimmick. I'm sure the same thing that they had no intention of getting over at an upper mid-card or even main event level, but the people were excited. The people were ready. Go with it before it cools off. And it looks like on the SmackDown side, regardless of what happens, you're going to have, you're going to have a face holding the top championship. So, push him at an upper mid-card level as a face, and then when you switch that title over to somebody else, have him as a top face challenger, really, and work to keep him hot the rest of this year, because I think the crowd will continue to eat this up, and he's just good. And just let him be who he is. He is charismatic, athletic. Rusev.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. Agree.
And in the IC match, I mean, I think the work is going to be good. Does it really matter who wins?
I mean, I think that it's clearly going to be the match of the night. That would be my expectation, at least. I feel like after Monday, I think Seth got the win. The traditional booking would suggest that means that it's Finn's going to win it, since The Miz has had it so long, and a title change might be interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if Miz pulls it out, although he just did have a kid, which, dear Lord, that segment on Monday, they were having a fantastic match, Finn Balor and Seth Rollins, and then they kept cutting back to The Miz talking about how much he loves his new baby. It's like, this guy's a heel. I don't want to watch this bad guy talk about how much he loves his kid when, like, you've got the two of the best wrestlers alive in the ring. It was so frustrating. Anyway, so maybe he needs to take some time off. So maybe I'm thinking he's going to lose the title, and it'll be kind of Finn Balor's consolation prize, since he never really got back into that main event picture after, getting injured after the big title match.
And I could see a summer of IC champion Finn Balor challenging Universal champion Roman Reigns. That makes sense in my head. Balor needs probably a little credibility, a little boost after just kind of languishing for like the past few months. So, yeah, I think that could work.
Yeah.
The Raw women's title match, they've spent a lot of time in this, but absent a screwy finish, I imagine, Nia Jax is just dominating, all right? Like that's the story they've been telling. Like, she's strong, she's dominant. Alexa Bliss is a skeezy cheater, so either she cheats to retain or, Nia just beats the tar out of her. And then maybe she still cheats to retain.
Yeah, I don't know. WWE has a pretty good track record of having heels humiliate, people, and then the heels go over. I could totally see them thinking that Nia Jax isn't ready for whatever reason. And, it's just so traditional for them to, build up this feud where somebody gets humiliated and made fun of, and then you think that, well, that's definitely going to lead to them getting their redemption, and then they don't, and then they go away, and then they're dancing or wearing funny glasses a week later.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that, this notion that WWE will degrade and humiliate a face on the way to an eventual loss. I read a great piece, Up Rocks, maybe, that took a look back at WrestleMania 19 and
yep.
the Triple H and Booker T championship match, which had that horribly racist build, and Triple H still wins. That's a great dispiriting argument there.
Conrad Thompson just really grilled Bruce Pritchard on the Something to Wrestle With podcast on that in a recent episode too, and that's exactly what's on my mind, because unfortunately, I may be reading way too into this, but oftentimes whatever they give the heels to say about somebody is actually what the company thinks. So if they think that Nia Jax has a weight problem, that may mean that, or if that's what they're telling the heel to say, that may be because they actually think she does, and they don't want to give her a championship.
Yep.
That's very cynical of me, but as somebody that's watch this stuff for, 20 years now, which is depressing. That seems to be a logical pattern.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we saw it just this week. They can't help but speak through the talent, and the talent doesn't have either the ability or the willingness to say no. That line that Roman Reigns said to Kurt Angle, like, take it, your manhood or whatever back to the pawn shop where you sold your gold medals. I mean, that is supposed to be your lead babyface saying a detestable thing to another babyface who you have in one of your marquee matchups.
Yeah.
And importantly, is a expletive gold medalist who has put in so many years for your company. Yes, I know that you basically fired him because you were afraid he was going to die, when he was employed by you. I can't get over how in 2018, like, the new thing everybody seems to want to do on WWE television is talk down to Kurt Angle. And then just to kind of conclude the upper mid card, and again, this is something that would main event if any other show of the year, Daniel Bryan's return to the ring after almost 3 years. Strangely enough, it's kind of an afterthought on this show. His physical return match, although this feud has been brewing on SmackDown for seems like forever.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited for this. I kind of figured he was going to be back eventually. I have a lot of theories of why he got cleared and all that stuff, but I didn't realize how excited I would be whenever it happened. And then that whole angle where he got attacked by Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens. That was just one of the most exciting moments on any WWE TV show I've seen in a while, probably since that Kevin Owens headbutt to Vince McMahon, because it felt real and dangerous. And I think that this match, all four guys, when you tell them, hey, this is a big deal, they rise to the occasion. And I think that if they're given the time and the freedom to go for it, this could be very, very, very exciting and fun and stressful in some ways. I'm terrified that they're going to turn Daniel Bryan heel. And because that just seems like what it's been building to, but, we'll see. And it's one of those things where if they don't turn him heel, like how is he not the number one contender for one of the championships immediately? You know, he is, now that he's back, he is their biggest star. There's no question about it. Maybe Ronda Rousey is a bigger, world, or Brock Lesnar is a bigger, like, globally recognized WWE wrestler than Daniel Bryan. But, I mean, I don't know. I feel like they don't want that, so they may turn him heel to try to kind of tamp that down a little bit.
But, Ben, what you don't understand is that Daniel Bryan is not 6'7 and 300 pounds. He's not going to turn heads at an airport. He doesn't look good on the cover of Muscle and Fitness. He couldn't possibly be your lead babyface.
And yet when I every now and then I'll tell my wife about something in wrestling and she'll just stare at me like I'm a manila folder. but when I told her, hey, Daniel Bryan came back, she was like, oh, really? That's really cool. And I was like, but you're right. He's not over. It's the hand gesture is over.
So. Yeah. I think you could get creative, and I think you could keep him away from the main event scene for long enough. But by the end of this year, by the end of this summer, he needs to be in that picture.
Yeah, he needs to be headlining SummerSlam if you're serious about letting him wrestle. But I have a feeling that again, I'll get into it. Fine, I'll get into it. I think that they were scared. I think they were scared that he was about to go make New Japan a bunch of money when his contract
went
out in September, and they did this to get him to sign on the dotted line, and then they're going to give him a bunch of wasted time, or maybe he won't get cleared again, or it'll be maybe he's off TV. I think this is controlling your competitive advantage more than really giving the fans what they want, which is I think the best case scenario for Daniel Bryan is the Shawn Michaels second chapter of his career, where he was just like this legend elder statesman that pulled out incredible performances every now and then. Didn't have like a full schedule, but was still on the show often. I think that's what he deserves. That's what he should get. But I think that they just don't like him that much.
I think I have a little bit more faith than you do, but maybe not much more. I do feel with you that we might have a turn in this match. If we were going to have a turn, I'd say probably 70-30 is Shane.
That'd be good. I'd be fine with that.
And then you could once again set up the evil McMahon storyline, or maybe Shane goes away, or who knows. As far as the storyline ramifications of this match, the stip is if they get hired back. But, we got one of the guys who has a history of wrestling in a mask, so Who knows?
oh, that'd be great.
If I'm booking it, Daniel Bryan gets the pin. You know, New Orleans gets to yes, yes, yes for, you know, 15 minutes. And then this summer is a glorious feud of Daniel Bryan versus El Generico 1 and El Generico 2. But they don't let me book.
Or I mean, we do live in a you know, world where they could just leave SmackDown and then show up on Raw.
Yeah, they could just do that too.
Yeah.
You know.
But I love your idea. Let's go with that.
So, getting to our main events portion, I have been absolutely mystified by the build, or what you would call a build, to Cena and Taker. And this has left me with the impression that they are afraid to even promise a match. So maybe there's not going to be a match. Maybe Cena just gets, you know, power bombs to hell. He takes the last ride to hell, and, you know, Taker, you know, walks out of WrestleMania with his head held high. Whatever happens, Taker needs to go over here, because basically Cena has called him the P word for 3 weeks. And it's just been, I think, incredibly damaging to the gimmick, and really just kind of distasteful to watch, because this is a guy who has broken his body for this company for, you know, 20 years. And there's been no need for it. And just, I would have preferred a much more straightforward approach. Like, you don't have to sell this match with all of this silly intrigue. It's, you know, your two biggest acts of the last two decades finally meeting at WrestleMania. Just let the damn thing happen and get out of the way. Their inability to do that, again, suggests to me that we're not getting what we thought we might be getting.
Yeah, and I think we shouldn't be getting it. Like, I wasn't a fan at all of last year's WrestleMania main event, but the only thing that brought any importance to it was the idea that Roman Reigns ended The Undertaker's career, you know, and that's everything, all signs pointed to that. So it makes no sense that he would come back for a match. And he shouldn't come back for a match. I mean, his last few matches have been sad and depressing. You know, I'm of the opinion that the Brock match at 30 should have been it. That should have been the end of The Undertaker. He can come back every now and then for, like, you know, like the gong hits and he comes out and chokeslams somebody or, you know, or something like that. But in terms of actually wrestling, don't do it. Like, you have nothing to prove, man. Like, you've put together an incredible body of work, and every time he's come back, it's just been sadder and sadder. And then he finally had a pretty special moment at the end of last year's WrestleMania where he left his boots and his hat in the ring, and now they're teasing him to come back. It's depressing and sad, and yeah, it's only made more depressing by the fact that John Cena is picking on him now. So it's one of those things where it's like, if you're going to use him as a draw, use him as a draw. If you're not, don't tease it, you know? So it's like, if you're not going to put him on the poster because he has a match, then don't use him at all. Don't tease us with a match. I agree. It's baffling. It's an unnecessary match, and you should have done it a few years ago and you didn't. So
yes,
just live with that decision.
Yeah. If WWE is great at one thing, it is devaluing their assets. I mean, you can just look at the Universal title match and think about the trajectory of Brock Lesnar's, you know, sort of second run, and the apex being his SummerSlam match against Cena. And this is definitely, he's definitely at a lull. But yeah, it's been ridiculous. What do you think we're going to get?
Oh, God. Yeah, I think you may be onto something. Maybe it's, you know, John Cena's in the crowd, and then he hops the thing and gets the mic, and he's like, blah, 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 and then The Undertaker comes out, and he gets choke slammed or something like that, and people cheer, and that's it. You know, it's more of a segment, not a match, which eventually, you know, WrestleMania will have no more matches, and it will just be sports entertainment segments.
I'm actually like strangely in love with the idea of this more or less mirroring, DDP the Stalker and whatever circa 2000 show
God.
That was, and DDP just sits out in the audience for the entire show, like obnoxiously eating popcorn and just like the camera just checking in on him every once in a while. And then, you know, Biker Taker shows up and just, you know, wrecks him in like 7 or 8 minutes.
So look, there is that rumor that American Badass is coming back. Kid Rock is going to be there. How would you react to Undertaker coming out in a bandana and a denim vest?
I am Ben Stark. I am a trash person. And I would enjoy that.
No, don't say that. You're breaking my heart.
I know. Look, we all have things that we like that we shouldn't like. For me, it's Star Trek V and Biker
That's
Taker.
Those are two egregious things. Lord Almighty. Okay, well, I think we should probably move on.
Yeah. Now, in our little pre-production meeting, you suggested to me that you have thoughts about Ronda Rousey and this tag match, and I am here for them. What are your thoughts, good brother Stark?
I just think it's such a missed opportunity. The thing I like about this is that Ronda Rousey is a wrestler now. You know, she's not a star making a special appearance. So basically you have two part-timers and a brand manager there to rally around this new permanent wrestler to make her a star. You know, that should be the function of this match. Who also, like, again, like one of the top two most recognizable names in your company right now. It should all be designed to make Ronda Rousey look good, make her look like a star, so that she can go, you know, wrestle in the women's division and make the rest of those wrestlers look like stars. You know, that should be the function here. What has come across is that Stephanie McMahon and Triple H control everything, and they are so evil, but they are also such hard workers, and
they are
such good business people, and it's all about that. And then it culminates in this thing on Monday where Stephanie McMahon like chokeslams Ronda Rousey. It's like, she's not a wrestler, and they do this thing where it's like they had that segment where it's like, I grew up in the ring. It's like, no, you didn't. You like wrestled like three times, and they're not good matches. And you're not your brother. You're not your husband. You're not your dad. And it's like, it's just awful. And how the match should go is Kurt Angle and Triple H should start off, and then Ronda Rousey should beg to tag in. Kurt Angle tags her in. Ronda Rousey steps into the ring. Triple H goes to tag Stephanie in, and Ronda Rousey stops him, punches him. He knocks him out, drags Stephanie in the ring, beats her up, throws her out of the ring, hits Triple H with the finisher and pins him with, like, no action from Kurt Angle. And then Kurt Angle's just, like, ecstatic that's how it went. That's what should happen.
Yeah.
What's going to happen is Stephanie's going to pin Ronda Rousey.
No. No.
I'm calling it. Heel heat. They got to get the heel heat.
I will say that I distinctly remember in the Money in the Bank, the women's Money in the Bank match, I distinctly remember calling, yeah, James Ellsworth is going to run up that ladder and get that briefcase. WWE does often go for these obviously stupid, egregiously heel moments.
Look, what's gonna pop on Twitter, on ESPN's Twitter the next morning? Is it going to be that Ronda Rousey is now a wrestler? No, it's going to be that Ronda Rousey got beat by the head of WWE. This UFC star got beat by this lady that runs WWE. That's what's going to pop.
no one is more important than WWE, obviously.
Right. It's the brand.
One thing I am worried about in this match, and you mentioned it earlier, like two part-timers, somebody who's brand new, and then somebody who's never really wrestled. We have seen more or less that Rousey is not a good, for lack of a better word, actress.
No, what I learned that in Furious 7.
What I'm worried is that maybe she's not a good wrestler.
Yeah.
Well, right?
Again, but we'll know that very quickly because she's in the ring, unless she wrestles Triple H, but that's not going to happen. I mean, he can make people look good, but,
yeah,
you know, that's not going to happen. So what this match should have been is, A, don't let part-timers get the star rub off of, you know, this big name, first of all. Like, this could have been, like, you set up Braun Strowman and Triple H at Survivor Series. Why isn't it Ronda Rousey and Braun Strowman versus Triple H and a female wrestler? Like, turn Becky Lynch heel, and there you go. You've got a wrestler that can make Ronda look good, and then you've got and is going to look like a star because she's in there wrestling Ronda Rousey, and then you have Braun Strowman tagging with Ronda Rousey, and he's going to be on all the ESPN tweets and everything. But now you've got Kurt Angle, who you don't need to make into a star because he's not a wrestler, and Stephanie McMahon, who isn't a wrestler and doesn't need to be a star because she signs the paychecks. So it's nobody is benefiting here at all, except for maybe Ronda Rousey, and that's questionable at this point because she's kind of looked like a failure this entire time. And she got rock bottomed by Stephanie McMahon or chokeslam, whatever the hell that move was. It wasn't even a wrestling move.
Of all the matches on the show, I think this one has the most, like, cringeworthy to watch sort of train wreck aspect to it. Yeah, one of the matches we have yet to talk about, I think the crowd could very well turn on. But this match, I think you're going to have some physically kind of uncomfortable moments, I think, from everyone involved. And they're just going to have to live with that. And like I said, I'm real worried that this might have been a bad investment with Rousey, because I think you can be not so good on the mic and make up for it in the ring, or not so good in the ring and make up for it on the mic. But she just might not be good at either. I mean, but we'll see.
Maybe. But I mean, they haven't done anything to help her either.
Yeah.
You know? So
that's
you can't expect somebody to come into an entirely new business and then wrestle a non-wrestler and then expect them to shine, you know, and or put them in the ring with people that are experienced talking in on a mic, but only give them things to talk about how shitty she is. you know, it's like, how is that going to help her confidence? You know, like, you're not putting her in a position where she can shine. Just like, it's like basic, like, I don't know, like, it's like, it's just basic management at that point, you know, where you're just like, put your talent in the position to thrive, and they just haven't done that.
So,
God, I'm
moving
sorry.
On.
I'm so negative. I am looking forward to the show, and I think it's going to be very entertaining. But you did preface that was the one that I was definitely going to rant on. So I'll try to be a little bit more positive going forward.
Absolutely. Moving on to another women's match, Charlotte and Asuka. I think this could be a really, really great match.
Yeah,
and I'm definitely looking forward to this. I think the booking is probably a little transparent here. When you have somebody when their you know, their winning streak is their gimmick, and you're not ready to kill off the gimmick, looks like you're going to be putting the title on Asuka here. And then, you know, she's already kind of run through the women's division on Raw, so you have her run through the women's division on SmackDown. But, you know, it's not the end point, it's the destination. And I think they can put together a pretty special match.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's a great decision because Charlotte hasn't really had much to do, you know. She's I think the aside from maybe Asuka, the best wrestler and the kind of biggest star that either division has, either women's division has. And I think that for a little, you know, if you put her in the chase or you give her something where, you know, she just didn't measure up to Asuka and give her something to act with, you know, I think that's a good arc for Charlotte. I mean, she's got so many different places to go in her character that if they choose to, they could really do something interesting with her. You know, she's, for better or worse, the John Cena of their women, you know, and so maybe she needs to go heel again, which is probably more interesting anyway, or whatever. But yeah, I think that this is going to be really impressive. This is, I would say, kind of the best like women's championship match, like in terms of marquee appeal that they've ever had at WrestleMania. You know, like in terms of it feels like a you know, if you're looking at iconic WrestleMania main events and you're thinking of Hogan Andre or Hogan Warrior or Rock Austin, I feel like this is close to that level. Obviously, it doesn't feel like that big of a deal because it's mired in 13 different main event matches. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it feels like these are two iconic wrestlers that are going to put on a really good match, and the motivations are clear and the storytelling is clear.
And
am I adding up there?
Yes, absolutely. I think this is one of those matches where, you know, sometimes you look at WrestleMania as like an end point, and sometimes WrestleMania is like a starting point. And I would expect this to continue through this summer. And if, you know, if I had the pencil, I would pick up the themes that we had at the end of Asuka's NXT run in her feud against Ember Moon, where she was so desperate to hold on to the title. And she was up against such, you know, intense competition, Ember Moon being somebody who was presented as a real challenger, that she starts doing subtle heel things, you know, winning at all cost. And then you slowly transition her into a heel role. And then you got all sorts of, you know, fresh matchups over there. And I think the, you know, what they hope to do is eventually have Asuka versus Ronda Rousey.
That's what I was about to say. That should be WrestleMania next year. Like, unless Rousey is, like you said, just a complete disaster in the ring. Like, that's it. That's your match right there for WrestleMania. And that could almost headline. You know, that could potentially be the final match, and that would be a big deal. Either that or Charlotte versus Ronda. I feel like, you know, you have the raw materials there to. In this case, you have the SmackDown materials there to make that a headlining match, and you could do it. You could fulfill this whole Women's Revolution hashtag branding thing, trend worldwide Twitter, and you can actually do something really special with it.
That's definitely out of the Baker's dozen more. That's definitely a match to look forward to. Another match that I'm looking forward to in terms of the in-ring quality, obviously AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. The only possible negative thing I have with this is that if it is not absolutely 5-star plus, we are going to think it's a disappointment.
It's going to be a disappointment.
No.
I mean, the new, have you seen the New Japan one?
No, I haven't.
It's on YouTube for free right now. So I would recommend everybody go see it. If you've seen that match, this will be a disappointment. Like, this will not be as good as that. And that's okay. You know, that's totally okay, because this could still be amazing. That match is, I mean, just incredible. Yeah, I'm excited for this. I feel like the build has been questionable for sure. I think Nakamura has been really dry, but since the Royal Rumble, he's shown a little bit more motivation and moxie. But I think that, I don't know, I feel like this needs a heel turn from Nakamura maybe. You know, maybe he like crosses lines in the match. I feel like this can be different than their Wrestle Kingdom match and special in its own ways if they lean into the fact that this is WWE and not New Japan. You know, the matches should be different. So I don't think anybody should be expecting that one. So, and when I say disappointing, I don't mean – I actually, it could be as good as that one. I think it's just going to be good in different ways, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. This almost feels like one of those – like a bone to the, quote, internet crowd.
Yeah, oh, that's what they've been saying. They keep talking about how it's a dream match. And
oh, like, yeah, that's the only people, right?
Yeah, this is only a dream match to, like, gross losers like me that watch Japanese pro wrestling. You know, it's not, you know, the average WWE fan that has the John Cena, you know, armband does not consider this a dream match.
Yeah, and they really have no idea who Shinsuke Nakamura is. They know that he is... he's an artist, and he likes red leather, and he makes weird facial expressions.
Yeah.
And then finally, you know, Tuesday, he said, I came to America for WrestleMania, and I want to win the WWE Championship. So finally, he has a little character development.
Wow.
I think their goal will be to tear the house down, hashtag you know, insight and analysis, like you said, it's been telegraphed by WWE. Like, you work great, Mark. Like, this is your match.
Yeah, have your candy. Yeah, no, leave us alone.
Yeah, this is the first match on the main card for the WWE Championship. I really hope that it all comes together, that we get, you know, they give it some time and some attention, and yeah, I fully expect Styles to retain. Although,
yes, me too. Yeah, there's no reason that Nakamura should win the title. Absolutely none.
But he could. Like, I wouldn't.
Yeah,
be
I'm not saying it's not going to happen. No, I wouldn't be incensed, but I'd be like, man, that's a waste of AJ. Like, he is. There's, I mean, in terms of the reaction from the crowd and character and what they've put in work wise, it's there's no reason that AJ Styles should lose. Did he lose his other two WrestleMania matches? No, he beat Shane. Never mind, he beat Shane. So yeah.
But yeah, he did lose to Jericho, yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like give the guy a great WrestleMania match for the title, let him win, and then go from there. He's the star of that show, and Nakamura is at best like a U.S. title contender at this point, you know, based on how the crowd feels about him and everything like that.
Realist.
I do think it's going to be fantastic. I said earlier that the IC title match is going to clearly be the best one. I guess it's not that clear. I mean, this one and the Daniel Bryan match could well be just as exciting.
Now, the last match, which I would bet my car payment that this is going to be the last match. I would bet my car payment that the closing shot of WrestleMania is confetti and Roman Reigns holding the Universal title, his grand, crowning moment. And all I really have to say about this match is I want to get through it. I want to get over it. I want to be done with this whole story, which has been a dud from the beginning. If 10% of the crowd supported Roman Reigns as this grand heroic babyface, as the next face of the company, I think since they started this most recent push, that 10% is maybe like 15. I think the crowd reception, the crowd reaction could possibly be ugly. I don't think we're going to get Goldberg-Lesnar level ugly unless we get some leaks before Sunday that it's like, you know, Brock Lesnar definitely not re-signed to WWE. Brock Lesnar ready to walk out of the company.
Ooh, that'd be sweet. Oh man, that would be entertaining.
It definitely would be.
Yes.
I can't stand Roman Reigns as a lead babyface. I think this is folly, but I'm I'm glad that it's going to be over. And I hope Raw will at least be watchable, you know, for the next, I don't know, 10 years, however long he's going to be on top.
Seriously, I mean, I'm with you. It's like, fine, just give him the title. Fine, like, just do it. Like, stop putting him in the chase. Like, let him hold it for as long as you need to feel good about yourself. Because, honestly, I mean, when he won it from Triple H at that WrestleMania, that was, I mean, we got, like, an AJ Styles feud right after that and got some really fantastic Roman Reigns matches. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with him. On top, except for the fact that nobody likes him, and that's the thing here. It's like I think the match will be good because their first match at WrestleMania was good up until the whole thing was good. So I think it'll be good, and I think the build has had good moments. But the problem here is that the novelty of Brock Lesnar is that everybody's afraid of him because he's legitimate and big and strong. And he's not scared of anybody, and he beats everybody up. And so the person that beats him is going to be a star because they walked up and, you know, slayed the dragon, which is great. And that's not a bad way to get over Roman Reigns if you haven't been trying that for 4 years. But that's a great way to do it. But then in this feud, they turn Brock Lesnar into a coward that doesn't want to fight. And it's like, no, what? You just completely deprogrammed this guy that this was his strength. This was what was going to make Roman Reigns feel special. Now when he wins, he just beat a coward, you know, like that you undid it. What's the best case scenario here?
The best case scenario, I think, is, well, in terms of storytelling, in terms of putting a compelling product together, in terms of putting asses in seats, and this is, of course, which means it will never happen,
yep.
Paul Heyman turns on Brock Lesnar.
It's right there.
Paul Heyman has a new Paul Heyman guy in Roman Reigns.
Yep.
And Paul Heyman manages Reigns. Reigns, like Lesnar, never touches a mic again. And
sweet.
Heyman can just cut these despicable promos, and, you know, Reigns can stand there and look intimidating and, you know, get in the occasional snide one-liner, which he is great at as a babyface. And that would be imminently watchable programming. Just yep. Reigns, like, giving in to his internal feelings, giving into his natural character and being the world's most punchable heel.
Yep.
And I promise you that would be a summer to watch. And you bring Joe back, you turn Joe face. Joe can be the champion of smarks everywhere. You can tell the story of Joe having had this long and distinguished career and finally making it to WWE and finally getting a chance at a world title, and Heyman can cheat him out of it again and again and again and again. And I would watch, you know, Samoa Joe continually try to roll that boulder up a hill over and over and over again. And then
go ahead.
Yeah, and then after Joe, you move on to Finn Balor, and then you move on to Seth Rollins. You move on to Dean Ambrose. Like, you got so many face challengers for a heel Roman Reigns. Like, oh, my goodness.
I mean, just imagine if you had a heel Roman Reigns. Imagine, and if this wasn't leaked on Instagram or posted to ESPN.com or whatever, you had no clue that Ambrose was coming back, and then Roman Reigns is in the middle of a heel promo, and then Dean Ambrose's music hits. Like, imagine if he comes back. Yeah, I mean, just imagine the pop for that. It's going to be like a Stone Cold Steve Austin level of excitement there. But they don't do that anymore. Yeah,
no,
I mean,
they don't.
That's exactly what it should be. It should be Paul Heyman turning on Brock Lesnar for good reason, you know, for saying that Brock is, you know, not committing to pro wrestling, which is what Paul Heyman loves and what Paul Heyman does. And you lean into that. And then you do what you did with Triple H and just let Roman Reigns be this smug, good, the smug heel that goes over everybody. And then you've got a natural, I mean, next year's WrestleMania, you could make so much money off of either Braun Strowman versus Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns or Dean Ambrose. I mean, you've got your built-in money right there. And it's just like, why, just let it happen. Like, don't listen to the, just listen to the fans. Like, they are telling you exactly what to do and what they will pay you money to see, and you, and they're not listening, and it's frustrating. But I remember whenever at the last Lesnar-Reigns match, everybody was worried that, you know, it would be like the easy coronation thing, and they were like, what, it'd be cool if Rollins, he's got the money in the bank, that'd be cool if he interfered. And everybody's like, no, no, that's not good. That's like a pipe dream. But, you know, WWE kind of felt the feeling in the air, and we're like, you know what, we need to make do something special, and let's pull the trigger on this. And this feels like a similar, like, obvious twist that would also be the best possible decision. So there's a chance they could do it. And they just had two WrestleManias where they had the Roman Reigns coronation moment. And it didn't get received with any sort of special response, you know? So they may see it as a boring thing to have him win again. And, you know, with nothing else, Vince McMahon likes spontaneity, and he likes keeping people on their toes, and he likes doing crazy stuff, even if sometimes it doesn't make any freaking sense whatsoever. But, you know, I think there's a chance that we get a heel turn or some sort of twist here. I think there's a chance, but I think most likely you're right. It's going to be fireworks, and for the third time straight, we're going to be learning. We're going to be celebrating the fact that this guy climbed the mountain, and nobody was expecting it. And he's definitely going to be the next big star. Definitely, definitely, no doubt about it.
Even heroic, he's underdog, had, babyface, Roman Reigns.
Yeah, bully. That makes fun of people, and maybe took steroids. But the I was looking at the other day, Stone Cold Steve Austin main evented three WrestleManias. This is going to be Roman Reigns' fourth WrestleMania main event.
That's incredible.
Yep.
Incredible for someone who is, I mean, he's over in the sense that people have a reaction, which is what, you know, WWE convinces themselves that is what they're looking for.
Except that doesn't work for anybody else. You know, they don't apply that logic to anybody else.
But yeah, as you have laid it all out, you've talked me into it. You've talked me into, wow, this is what's going to happen. We're finally going to get the turn. And then, you know, look, what is going to happen is, you know, they stay the course, and we just get more or less a boring summer and fall and, you know, however long else. But,
well, it's
maybe
troubling because they do have a heel problem. I mean, who are the legitimate heels in WWE? It's Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and The Miz. And that's it. You know, you have nobody else that's really an active wrestler that's a bad guy. You know, everybody else is – Brock Lesnar isn't a heel, you know. He beats people up and is good at it. People like him. So – I don't know who's – maybe Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens get fired and then show up to challenge Roman Reigns, and that's your summer. That wouldn't be terrible, but it's also not super compelling.
But
so, like, there's no heels. They need heels. Oh, I got it. Never mind. Jinder Mahal. He's going to get swapped to Raw, and then it'll be a summer of Roman Reigns versus Jinder Mahal.
You take that back, you gypsy curse. Take it back. Take it back.
You know that's going to happen.
Oh.
Mark it down.
I need to go now. I need to go lie down.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you so much for – I think we have been kind of negative, but I think it's going to be a really fun show. There's going to be a lot of really good matches. Honestly, none of these look like a complete mess except for the one that we mentioned. So I think that it's going to be a great time. I just need to make sure I don't drink too much beer and eat too much pizza too early, so I can, you know, pace myself throughout those 6 hours.
Absolutely. It's a long show. We covered almost everything in almost less than an hour. I'm proud.
We did it.
Rammer Slammer is produced and edited by Ben Flanagan for the Alabama Media Group and AL.com. Find us on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Rammer Slammer. Thanks for listening.
Hey, hey, it's Conrad Thompson from Something to Wrestle With, Bruce Pritchard, and you're listening to Rammer Slammer right here on AL.com.